I just reread one of my favorite books. It's a book by Lewis Thomas, and it's called The Lives of a Cell. And I love the book because it's a scientific book, but it has a lot of spiritual kinds of messages in it. Lewis Thomas, in this book, conceives of the entire earth as one single cell, which means we're all related, and everything we do affects everyone else and everything else in the world. In this book, Lewis Thomas says this: "Our arsenals for fighting off bacteria are so powerful and involve so many different defense mechanisms that we are in more danger from them than from the invaders. Those threats that come from our own defense mechanisms are what we call autoimmune disorders, those kinds of circumstances where a system begins to destroy what it is intended to protect, happens not only in medical systems, but in religious systems. In Jesus' time, the religious system saw him as an invader, a danger, and the system worked hard to kill him and to remove the threat. The system of religion originally designed by God killed the perceived invader. They destroyed the very goal of the system, the question of how to understand, seek, and express God through human flesh. It makes us ask, what did Jesus do to be identified as a threat to the system? I think that, like Lewis Thomas in Lives of a Cell, he saw all persons as part of one body with equal access to God's grace. In Jesus' time, there were many challenges to the Jewish faith and their way of life. Within Judaism, there were four kinds of responses to those threats, and there were four groups that coalesced around those particular responses. There were the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Zealots, and the Pharisees. The Sadducees, much like us, were very well off, and they sort of decided to go along, to get along. They accommodated themselves to conditions. The Essenes thought society was far too corrupt to ever be fixed, so they formed elite communities outside of society. The Zealots were militants and used armed force for revolt. And the Pharisees, the most familiar to us, sought to revive Judaism through strict observance of Moses' law. Jesus was a threat because he was a completely different response, a different option. Unlike the Sadducees, he wanted change. He wanted to give people who were thirsty for God, people lost in the system, help through Jesus and through God. The Sadducees might have said, "We will help those persons who deserve our help." They thought of persons in need as less than they were, as deserving of the low station they had in life. Now, unlike the Essenes, Jesus didn't want to drop out of society, but wanted to be in the real world with real people and to teach us to be there. The Essenes were an elite community insulated from society, with great care for all those within their own group, with little internal stratification. In other words, they took care of each other, but they were very careful about who they defined as the community. Unlike the Zealots, Jesus wanted peace. The Zealots came forth with a militant response, and that response ended human life instead of healing, as God asks us to heal. Jesus was most like the Pharisees, though they emphasized holiness of God and of their own community. He emphasized instead not an apartness, not a distance from other people, but compassion for other people. The Pharisees would have used holiness as a way of excluding the needy, as someone undeserving of God's grace. Jesus rejected the Pharisees' pursuit of holiness because their way of holiness divided humanity into separate categories: clean and unclean, Jew and Gentile, righteous and sinful. By saying that we are all one, including tax collectors, prostitutes, lepers, and countless others invisible to the system, Jesus erased divisions that kept us loving only those most like us. Just as Lewis Thomas sees all of the earth as a single cell, Jesus' response to the oppression of the Jews was that we are all one under God, that God's grace is available to all persons, not just the comfortable or the elite or the militant or the legalistic. Jesus brought us all together into one body, a status which erases all markers of status and made all persons equal before God. He saw all of the human race not only as connected to one another, but as connected to God. He refused to exclude people from the grace of God. When religion truly responds to the needs of an individual person, especially the person marginalized by the status quo, then the system upholds its original goal, which is to make God manifest in human flesh. Like the parts of a cell, we are called as Christians to seek holiness, but not for our own good, for the good of the cell. Holiness, as lived out in Jesus' life, means not division, but unification, realization that we are all one. The gospel says it very clearly today. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. We are all one with one another. We are all one with Jesus and with God the Father who sent him. It all comes back to seeing the whole earth as one cell, or in Christian parlance, as seeing every person as a cell in the body of Christ. We should help the poor because their poverty is our poverty. We are one in Jesus Christ, so it's not just the well-to-do helping the poor, but one part of the cell helping another part of the cell. And if we see ourselves as one with others, we would see that the holiness we seek means nothing if it creates divisions among people, because those divisions become the autoimmune response that attacks the body of Christ. If we saw this way, as Jesus asks us to, we would give everything we had to make sure that no one sits thirsty in the hot sun when we ourselves carry the cool, refreshing water given to us by Jesus. We are called to stand up, to say that religion needs to stop attacking those who are different from us. We need to stand up to say all should have enough. If we believe in being all one in the body of Christ, we do not allow the autoimmune response, which says those people are of no concern to us, which pushes back against God's call to assuage the thirst of someone very unlike us. And if we love one another in this way, we do it not out of obligation. We do it because we know that the Sadducee and the Essene and the Zealot and the Pharisee are really all one with the person who needs help, whether they deserve it or not. We are one with those in need because we are one with Christ. One with Christ, we stop trying to determine whether or not those in need deserve our help. We love them because God first loved us. We are one with them in the body of Christ. And no matter how comfortable I may be, I cannot be healed and whole until all in the body of Christ are healed and whole. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. When we reach out to another person in love, we touch Jesus. We touch God. The world today certainly doesn't need more Sadducees or Essenes or Zealots or Pharisees, more religious persons who find a way to fail to love. The world needs people who see every human being as part of the same cell, part of the same body. The world needs loving human beings who hear the cries of need. For that cry comes not from outside, but from inside. From one voice, from one cell, from one body. The body of Christ.